I'm Stephen Price.
Hello, I'm Cara Githens.
This is The Innkeepers, a podcast by Sanctuary Inn. At Sanctuary Inn, we believe we are called to equip, refresh, and restore God's global workers.
On this podcast, we will be interviewing guests who have much to teach us about the many facets of missionary care. Let's learn together and be encouraged to press on in the work God has given each one of us to do.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hello, this is Cara, and welcome back to the Innkeepers podcast.
Well, today we have a great opportunity to interview Dr. Mark Henniger, who is the director of Culture Bound. And Cara is going to tell you a little bit more about Culture Bound, but I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory to Culture Bound and its relationship to Sanctuary Inn, because we have a relationship there. So in 2005, my wife and I were hired to work at the Worldview Center in Southeast Portland, and it had been founded in 1995 as a place for international students to live while they were studying at Western Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Now, over the time, they had seen hundreds of students came and lived at the Worldview Center. And anyway, so my wife and I stepped into the role of, we refer to it as house parents.
Yes, I was one of those hundreds of students who went and lived at the Worldview Center.
Yeah, so that was our first introduction to Cara, was that we were hired and then Cara kind of showed us around and told us.
Showed you the ropes.
Showed us the ropes. So we were hired there, and we, from 2005 to 2016, we were there. And in the time that we were there, we just had a very rich experience in there. The Worldview Center was actively training and preparing missionaries for cross-cultural ministry during that time, and we had a role in that, worked. We actually took the training ourselves.
Which is part of what we're going to talk about with Mark Henniger today.
We'll talk about that training. And then also, at one point, my wife and I were involved with working with the kids of the missionary families that were there for the training, and we helped them kind of assimilate some of the information on a kid's level, as obviously they didn't need everything their parents were getting, but we were trying to kind of mirror some of the things their parents were doing, but at a younger level. So anyway, all that to say is in 2016, when there was a change, the building that we all had been in had to be sold. And so we stepped away from that and began asking God what the vision was. And he gave us the vision for Sanctuary Inn. And Mark has gone on to the Ministry of Culture Bound, is continuing to do the Ministry of Teaching and Training.
Yeah, so there you have Culture Bound and Sanctuary Inn, both kind of born out of the Worldview Center and that vision there. And we each are going on to do our own version of missionary care.
That's right.
So today we are privileged to be able to interview Mark Henniger, who is the executive director of Culture Bound. And he, and that organization, they talk about the core of their mission being to increase the effectiveness of gospel ministry by facilitating intercultural understanding. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk all about what that means today. And it's just exciting to be able to have an opportunity to talk with them and hear some of his story and hear what they're doing at Culture Bound.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. And let's get into this interview.
Mark, so good to have you with us today. I just wanted to start out by asking a little bit about your story and your missions experience and how you ended up being the director of Culture Bound.
Yeah, it's quite a story. And it's a real joy to be here. I want to thank you for the invitation. This is not only fun, but it's just great to see you guys both again. Probably in the course of the day, we'll hear a little bit about how our stories have interacted over the years. But my history goes back to, actually, I came to Christ as a university student, and I was planning on going into international agricultural development. And so as I grew in Christ, that idea of international was already a part of my background, was already a part of where I was thinking. And it just stayed there. It was like, well, you know, if I was going to be a part of an international agricultural development, what would be hard about being involved in international ministry somehow? So there's a lot of other pieces I won't put into the story, but pretty soon my wife and I and our children found ourselves on our way to Mexico, and we worked there for 12 years, 10 years at a Bible Institute in rural Mexico and 2 years in a very urban part of the country. And I had the great joy of being a part of a theological training center there that was preparing people for ministry all across Mexico, actually outside of Mexico too. But from there, the agency that we serve with asked if we would move to the Philadelphia area and take over as one of the international directors with kind of a regional responsibility over all of the Latin American, over a lot of the Latin American missionaries that were a part of that group. So we did that, and we were in Philadelphia for 6 years. As part of my responsibility, I started traveling back and forth to Portland because our mission, largely because I pushed and influenced, I guess, influence sounds better.
Yeah.
We wanted to see better training. We wanted to see better equipping of people before they went overseas. Mm-hmm. And we found this amazing place in Portland, Oregon called the Worldview Center that allowed us a great place and a great training concept, a great amount of training philosophy that we really liked. I was kind of named to be the main liaison between the Philadelphia offices of our mission and the Portland training. And after a couple of years of traveling back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, I went to our mission leaders and said, how about if I just move to Portland and stay there, go on loan and work with that mission in the Portland area and be a part of that training. So that was about 13 years ago now, and we've been involved one way or another with those ministries ever since. What we're doing now is still an outgrowth of that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of rich history there, and we'll probably get into that at some point. But so if someone has stumbled across Culture Bound for the first time and they're in missions or interested in missions, or if they have a heart to care for their missionaries, what do they need to know about Culture Bound? What's Culture Bound gonna do for a missionary?
Yeah, what we will do for a missionary is focus on giving that person the skills that they need, and that's a really carefully chosen word, the skills that they need to be self-directed at learning the ways of life of another language and culture. And so we focus on exactly that self-directed learning, and we do it in a very relational kind of a way. We work with mission agencies now. We also work with local churches. We work with schools. We work with businesses. And in all of those cases, sometimes in the US and sometimes outside of the US, but wherever people are rubbing shoulders with folks from another culture, we can bring some insights into how to do that.
So it's really language and culture acquisition is kind of getting those skills. That's the bread and butter of what you guys do.
Yeah, that would be the boiled down version. Yeah.
Okay. So what are some of the challenges that you have seen missionaries and others face in learning a language and a culture?
Yeah, so let me just piggyback, because you were saying that you were pushing your mission for some better training. So what wasn't happening and what?
Yeah, so around the world, this is not unique to United States missions at all, or to groups that are inviting from other countries, anything. But around the world, what I see happen is people think that if I just learn enough facts and figures about this other culture, then I'll be okay. That's what we need. So for instance, when we left for Mexico, we were basically given a book, you know, here, read this book. That book was very broadly about all things Mexican, and it really didn't help us greatly when we got into our little part of rural Mexico, the rural versus urban. It didn't deal with that. It didn't deal with just a lot of the much deeper things that go into the patterns of life of a group of people. So we really find ourselves a lot of times trying to reassure people that, you know, it's not a matter of trying to memorize, 42 different characteristics of this culture versus that culture, but it's really learning how to be, how to ask some good questions, how to look for some patterns, some skills like that.
So to be a learner of a culture.
That's right. Thank you. Perfect word.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, give us a real life example of someone that's maybe been on the field and realized that, hey, they're not really thriving. They're not flourishing in the ministry, but then they've had the opportunity to take some training and then just how that's had an impact on their ministry.
Let me tell you, this will be an interesting story I'm going to share because it comes from outside the U.S. Not very long ago, we had the great privilege of working with through internet, but doing one of our week-long trainings with a group from. I need to be careful with place names, so you'll understand if I'm vague. Yeah. It was from one part of Latin America, and these folks were going into another part of Latin America. They moved into that part about 10 years ago, but it would be hard to imagine the cultural differences. I mean, it would have been like somebody California moving to Germany would have been about as big of a jump. And these folks had no training. They had, they read some books on their new country, but they didn't really know what they were getting into. And we had we set up our 1 week trainings for missionaries so that there's some recorded sessions that they watch. Later, there's some written interaction that they have with each other. They go on self-directed field trips, so they're out learning things in their own community. And then we debrief together for about 2 hours every afternoon. And when we were doing those debriefs, it was just one day after another that these folks were saying, oh my goodness, we never even thought to ask that. Or until you told us to go out and look at how close people stand to each other, it never crossed our minds. And so some of these kinds of tools that we were giving, they put them to work. And about 2 weeks after our training was done, we got a letter saying, well, we basically had a long team meeting, all 13 of the people involved, and came to the conclusion that we have created a wonderful example of a church that is would be quite at home in our home culture and is totally not at home in the culture where we have come. To the point that when we walked in the front door of one of our churches, the first thing that we saw, it's always been there, but we had stopped seeing it, was a flag of our home nation instead of the country where we're at.
Okay.
So we have started from scratch and we are rethinking, How do people share important stories? What are the colors that people like? Yeah. How do people gather for meals? What are some of the foods that they really appreciate? And so they took the tools that we had developed and just put them to work. And I can hardly wait. About a year from now, we'll be in touch and say, so tell us some stories, what happened? But it was really a lot of impact.
Well, and one would assume that from Latin country to Latin country, and language group to language group that, oh, well, this is nothing. I mean, they're just going to go in and minister to these people.
Yeah. We taught we did a business course with a group from that does telephonic sales. And they were looking for some tools to help deal with people from Maine in one call and then follow that up with Los Angeles on the next call and Atlanta on the following. And they said, they're different worlds. I said, they sure are. They are. Wow. They might sound like they speak the same language, but there's all kinds of different presuppositions going on there.
Yeah. I'm guessing a lot of the struggle that missionaries are facing, and what I heard in the story you shared, was this assumption that people are like us. Everyone is just like us.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to communicate. It maybe there'll be a language barrier, but not really digging deep as to the values and what drives people.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's that assumption that everybody's all the same. And to a certain degree, we do have, everybody has to eat. Everybody has to, you know, breathe. Everybody, you know, has some social needs, but we meet them in such broadly different ways. One of the phrases that we really like to use, we found it in a book called Diversity Competence that we use a lot. It says, I am like everybody else. I'm like nobody else. And I'm like a few other people. Wow. And it's so true, because, you know, we have these human things, and then we all have our own personalities and our own idiosyncrasies. But within those two extremes, there's also this group of people that we share some common habits and patterns of life.
Yeah.
A culture.
We were in Atlanta, Georgia. So picture Portland, Oregon, kind of, you know, granola capital of the world, and in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's very different. And we were living there for a few months before we moved overseas with the mission that we were involved in back in the 90s. And we were fond of telling our mission team that moving to Atlanta was a bigger adjustment than moving to Eastern Europe, but that was far easier because you were expecting things to be different once you left America. But when you moved from coast to coast, and we walked into a restaurant and couldn't understand what we were being told and couldn't make ourselves understood in English, in America,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very different.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has a culture. Yeah. Every family has a culture.
That's right.
And sometimes we just need to open our eyes to see it in some ways.
Yeah. You know, what happened?
Skills. I'm sure there's some skills that you guys have figured out that help you really learn a culture.
Yeah, we kind of start by redefining. We don't actually even use the word culture a whole lot. We talk about patterns of life, patterns of thought, because it's whatever my patterns are that I teach to my children, that becomes the culture, you know? And so we because culture is such a vague word, and it's used in such a wide variety of ways. So we talk about those patterns, and how can you learn the patterns that somebody else has? Well, the easiest thing would be to ask, but the problem is that we all learn our patterns when we're little kids, and we can't tell you what they are. It's the word we use is intuitive. It's intuitive to me, but if you're moving into my world, it has to be deliberate on your side. So you can ask me all the deliberate questions you want, and I'm not going to know how to answer, because, well, it's just how you do it. This just makes sense, right? Well, not if you're not from here. No, it doesn't make sense, but it's kind of a funny twist. So one of the tools that we use is just the ability to be observant. And we actually do have some great skills, grew out of the founder of our ministry back in the mid 1960s, a fellow named Dr. Donald Smith. And he wrote a book called Creating Understanding. I'm sure he'd been using it for a long time before that, but he talks about what he calls the signal systems. We call them the languages of culture, but they're just tools to help us observe better how people are using color and how they're using objects and how they're using language and how they're using sounds. So we communicate with that, and we help people develop some ways of being able to watch for those patterns, observing what's happening. We talk a lot about communication possibilities, about some skills in asking good questions and in being really clear at what you're trying to get across, and rethinking your questions three or four times, because you're probably, you know, until you can really get clear as to what you don't know and you're trying to figure out. And we talked a lot about attitudes. Attitudes, it turns out, is a really big part of learning a new culture too. Learning how to think about different ways of going about life as different, not necessarily better and worse. And so, you know, we work on those areas of, yeah, patterns, observation, to learn patterns, how to communicate, and how to check your attitude a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that we would, as a family, kind of catch one another is, you know, we were never allowed to say that's weird, because that's not polite and not kind. You could say, well, that's different, or I've never seen that before. But yeah, just learning to communicate in a way that leaves you open to understanding, leaves you open to learning more. Because if you just dismiss someone and the way they're doing something, you've shut the door right there to any further understanding, for sure. So
I feel like this is such an important skill of just being able to withhold judgment and make the point of comparison what God says, not what my home culture says.
Right.
Because when I compare my home culture, the patterns of life of the people where I grew up, where I live now, and I compare those patterns with what the Bible says, I've got to say, oh, wait a minute, no, we're not there yet either, are we? So if you make that the point of comparison, then everybody's got a level playing field too.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's a lot of people doing what you're doing. I know there's a couple other organizations that do similar things, but kind of tell us what kind of where your niche is in this whole area of getting, helping people to be as prepared, more prepared anyway, in terms of stepping into a new culture.
I think there are three things that we do that are pretty unusual at this stage. One is that we are relational. We really build it on a relationship building kind of a model. So there's a growing theology that looks at the fact that our triune God is Father, Son, Spirit in relationship with each other. And he has created us to need relationship. So instead of trying to give people skills to for one culture to understand another culture, we try and get it down to the fact of how do you get to know your neighbor? Wherever that neighbor has moved from or wherever you have moved from, let's look at it in terms of different patterns of life, some of which grow out of culture, but those patterns of life, let's learn how to develop a relationship across those patterns. Mm-hmm. So instead of just a big, broad, vague kind of concept, we try and bring it right down into the patterns between you and your neighbor. Another area that we're unique in is we focus on self-directed education, self-directed training. So instead of giving people the answers, we really strive to help people learn how to learn. So one of the things, for instance, that we do is that, and this was just God's providence. It turns out that COVID and all the closing down all of the residential training forced us to move into the internet, which we were already all set to do. We'd been looking at our numbers and people weren't traveling the way they had been just because of the costs.
Yeah.
And we were well prepared to move into an internet world. Here was the fun part. When we did our live trainings here in Portland, we would always take people to the field trips. We would have a whole series of places all already lined up, and people would make those trips and learn what they needed to learn, and we would debrief it, and it was all good. But when people couldn't travel, we'd say, okay, you're going to stay in your hometown, but you're going to be out on three or four different field trips, and here's what you're going to have to do. And we would actually walk people through it. Here's what really turned into a benefit. as they got onto their field of service, they said, we already know what to do. We know exactly how to go into the market and learn there. We know exactly how to go into the library and make that a place where we're learning. And we know exactly how. So it turns out that all of our hand-holding and being very careful to set up everybody's field trips, in a sense, was, I wouldn't say counterproductive, but it turned out to be a whole lot better when we moved into that more self-directed approach. So everything we do is at the that idea of we want to help people learn how to learn. And then the third thing that is a special niche for us is that we are really flexible as far as location because of the fact that we work by internet. We travel as often as we can, and we love being on site with folks. But there are some times where it's just we can't get from one place to another. And that's okay. We can work pretty effectively by internet, and that does not negatively impact the quality of the training. So we've been thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's awesome too, that people are really grasping the ability to learn a culture in their own culture, which they probably didn't see things in their own culture before. And then I think a lot of times if you see the stuff in your own culture first, you're more willing to look for it and learn another culture. And like you said before, we rarely know our own culture or our own patterns because they're just habit.
Yeah,
exactly. And again, like I said, the fun thing is that is a human truism. Just about, you know, all the Mexican groups we've worked with and the Panamanian groups and the Peruvian groups and, you know, all of the rest of them, they all run into the same problems. I never knew that we did that. And so.
Yeah. So as you've been teaching all around the world, what are some of the needs and trends that you're seeing in missions training these days?
Yeah. Boy, it is such a, you know, our vision statement is we want to see the world teeming with Jesus ambassadors who can take his gospel into unfamiliar cultures and languages. And if you want to, we get excited every time we have a question like what you just asked, Kara, because it points us towards that idea that the world teeming with Jesus ambassadors means that they're coming from everywhere and they're going everywhere. And that's exactly what's happening. I think one of the biggest needs that I keep coming into is exactly what we're talking about, just that need to be able to step out of our own comfort and say, for the sake of the gospel, I'm willing to learn how to live in somebody else's way of life. I'm willing to move into a different set of patterns of life and thought and communication and everything else. And as I make that shift into their geographical area, I am also willing to change how I go about life so that they can better grasp the truths of the gospel, so that it can be less about the messenger and more about the message. And I just see that happening over and over again. And it just turns out that basically around the world, I see almost everybody's having that same problem, that if they would just sing the songs the way we sing them, then they'd be good Christians, and helping people to realize, no, it has nothing to do with learning how to be a Christian the way you're a Christian. It has to do with learning how to be a Christian in their context with the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And somehow you're just the messenger of that.
Yeah. I think, several years ago, we were sitting around talking about our responsibility and our role as missionaries to take the bread of life around the world, because bread is something in so many cultures that's such a common thing, and obviously there are substitutes in other places. But we also talked about the fact that sometimes the wrapper that we bring the bread of life in is offensive. You know, we don't take the time to figure out how do I need to present Christ in this culture in such a way that is consistent with who these people are and are true, is, you know, it's true to who they are and so on. But it's, I think sometimes we just very unknowingly say, well, here it is, I brought it to you. But in the meantime, the way we've done it has just not generated any interest on the part of the people to where we've gone.
Yeah. And I feel really strongly like that is part of, being all things to all men, learning how to be a Jew to the Jew and a Greek to the Greeks, as Paul said. I am also just forever so thankful that God in his goodness to us overcomes that, and he opens people's hearts even when we mess it up, you know, even when we get it wrong. He is able to take that anyway, but I don't think that that doesn't take away our you know, can I say responsibility to be as good as we can possibly be at taking his message the way he's given it to us.
Right. Yeah. And I want to
be winsome.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Winsome. Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah. And obviously God has worked through, we're all flawed men and women, and he's done tremendous work throughout history through those men and women. So that's great. So the ministry and the mission of Sanctuary Inn is about missionary care, but we see what you're doing as part of a spectrum of missionary care, because we talk about equip, refresh, restore, and you're definitely on the equip end of the spectrum where you have the opportunity. So talk a little bit about missionary care from the perspective of sending a missionary well prepared.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. What a great word. So how does one learn to enter into Christian life or into ministry or anything else? And it's always going to be this kind of interplay with some areas of skill and knowledge and that walking alongside kind of sort of encouragement that goes along with it, helping people to recognize where they're weak. How do you find a teammate who can be strong? Even recognize who they are as far as their gifts and what maybe some of their cultural background is that's going to really serve well in one given place and maybe not serve very well at all in another. You know, if you look at all of those different things that God brings into his church, I think it's really easy to see how these pieces all fit together. The member care side of things is part of missionary reality, the sending of people who are well equipped. And in our day and age, actually, it doesn't even have to be exactly sending. It can be arriving on the field and going about a kind of a structured approach at learning how to live when you get there. There's some levels of missionary training of what we do that could be done, that have been done now by internet after people get on the field. Mm-hmm. And we're more like mentoring them in the process of how to get to know their new land. And so even though we don't live there, we can probably point them to some places where we can help them to ask the good questions that will help them to get there. So it's a really interesting day with the mixture of technology and everything else. But yeah, I think that whole idea of sending people as well prepared as you can. Actually, I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that we've really over, what word do I want to use? We've made the idea of disciple people a whole lot more complicated than sometimes it needs to be. And we feel like what we do is discipleship. It's been entrusted to us. We've learned how to learn a new culture. We've learned how to live in other places. And we just want to teach some other people how to do that. And that at its core is discipleship. So when we're doing it for the sake of the gospel, that becomes making disciples then who can, you know, I maybe am not going to be the one who can get into that next country or that next city, but maybe the guy that I'm working with or the young lady that I'm working with, they are going to be that one. And so that's the chain. And it's a chain of mutual encouragement and a chain of just sharing with each other the things that have been entrusted to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have two quick follow-up questions, but I'll see how I do about remembering both of them. So the first one is just kind of, so let's imagine a missionary couple, doesn't matter from where or from where they're going or to where they're going. That's, I think, not important. But what are some of the basic instructions? You know, they arrive in their new location. They you know, through some kind of assistance, they get an apartment, they get a house, they get someplace to live. What are their first tasks? What are their first things that you've coached them through? And then what are they probably going to interact with you about very regularly when they first get there? So.
Oh, that's great. You know, the very first tasks is we would say, go walk around the block, mm-hmm. literally just go walk around whatever the geography is that you can walk around. If you're in a rural area, walk up and down the road in front of your house and just start doing these observations that we've talked about. The next day, you know, find out where do you go to buy groceries.
Yeah.
But don't just go to buy groceries. That's kind of the problem area. It's where you're so focused on getting your task done that you don't notice what's happening around you.
Hmm.
So as you go to buy groceries, notice how are people dressed. Just come up with one question a day. So maybe it's how are people dressed today? Or maybe the next day it's go to buy groceries and then pay attention. How much are other people buying? Are they filling up their cart, you know, all the way to the top, or are they just buying two or three items a piece?
Yeah.
So go and observe something as well as buy something. And so we want to get into that habit right at the very beginning. Something else might be go and let's say that they already know that there's a group of believers that they're going to be meeting with. So as you gather with those believers, just check on your watch what time things are supposed to start and what time do they actually start.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not that there's any great significance, but if you don't know, then you're going to be uneasy with that and you're going to start making assumptions and So watch for that. Watch what colors people are wearing and what colors you see on houses and then find out, ask somebody, does that color mean anything? Or is it just, why was that color chosen?
Uh-huh.
And see if there's anything like that. So it's just that start to get to know your neighborhood would be the very first thing.
Yeah. And then I think the calendar too, events, holidays, ask people questions. What is this about? What's significant? Who is, we always told people to take the money and who's on the money?
Good
because
point.
Everyone who's on the money played some role in history in that country. So take the time to ask questions. Who is this person on this bill that I'm holding in my hand? So,
yeah. And actually we would even go so far as to say, it's probably more important that you ask somebody than that you find a resource book or an internet site.
Yeah.
It's not the information. It's the way people tell you the information.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and in fact, ask a few people, hey, I heard that this guy's name was dot, dot, dot. Did I say that right? You know, so look for ways to be an active learner by doing things like that. And what you will hear, people will tell the stories of those heroes that are on the national money or in the statue downtown or whatever it is, but they'll tell the story the way they've heard it, and that's much more valuable than getting the cleaned up, very technical version that you'll find in the history books.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Wikipedia or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you you just gain information but don't gain the relationship, you are isolating yourself while learning supposedly the culture. And I know there have been many who have gone with incredible support from their church, huge hearts, an amazing desire to go and serve and bring the gospel, but they arrive and they don't know how to do these things and they burn out.
Yes.
And they leave the field. And I think there's attrition rates of missionaries leaving the field that are significant. I don't know the exact statistics, I'm not going to make it up, but I know it's high of missionaries leaving the field because of language and culture acquisition struggles, of never feeling like they can really fit in or learn or be there in any tangible way that allows them to even share the gospel that they so eagerly went to share.
Yes.
So I think what you're talking about, in my mind, this is missionary care because we want our missionaries to succeed.
Yeah.
They raise money, their family sends them, their friend. I mean, they've sacrificed so much.
They've gone to school, they've gone to seminary,
just on and on, the sacrifices and commitments that they've made are huge.
So well said, yes.
But then in a year or two, they feel like a failure. And they come back feeling like their tail between their legs because they weren't able to adequately learn the language and the culture.
Yeah.
It's we're just in the process of finishing a manuscript of a book that we're really looking forward as Culture Bound to publishing and kind of getting out into circulation. But one of the things that book, the starting point is that the real journey is not the airplane ride from wherever you're starting to the mission field that you're going to. The real journey is the one from my heart to your heart. And if I, it's those 18 inches between two people of learning how to cross that distance. And that distance requires me to probably learn how to listen to the culture, listen to the language, be that learner so that I can cross that. And that's the journey that takes place in our hearts and minds. And we get it confused because we think that buying the airplane ticket was the point. And I think the real point is, yeah, you need the airplane ticket, but then you're going to have the skills and the attitude that's going to allow you to be able to learn from those people, even while you're there to teach gospel truth. But to be able to be that gospel teacher, you need to start by being the culture learner.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not trying to be critical or of anyone or anything, but I think too often the expectations on the missionary, whether from the organization or self-perception or supporters back home or something, I mean, we've talked about this with other guests, is that I've got to go do something. Yes. I'm going there to do something. And really, I mean, you're not telling people not to do anything, but you're really coaching them to do very purposefully a lot of foundation laying in terms of language and culture acquisition in a very deliberate, methodical, patient way. And sometimes we have trouble with ourselves even saying, oh, I don't have the time to do that. But if you don't take the time, I'm sure you've seen the results of that.
The good news is this, though, too. This is all so well said. I'm really appreciating we obviously are seeing things a lot the same. The good news is that once people get a hold of this idea, it actually goes faster than if you're just going about life as usual. Wow. Uh-huh. It's that change of mindset that's the big part, because it doesn't take longer to go and learn a culture than to stumble through and never quite learn it. It maybe feels like in week number one, when you think you're supposed to be teaching classes already. I've been here for 3 weeks. Why am I not teaching something? It may seem like it's been a your time hasn't been spent well, but it really has. We ran into a situation. I was in a Latin American place, so I did speak the language. I mean, that's a little bit of a cheater's starting point, I guess, that I'm going of the story. But I was in this place doing training for just 2 or 3 weeks. I wasn't there for a long time, but I was practicing all the stuff that I tell you that we do. I walked around the block and I learned what the neighbors' names were, and I learned what the favorite foods in the area and the colors and everything else. And the last day, one of the guys said, we've really appreciated your class. It would have been fantastic if you weren't such an awful liar. And I said, what's this about? He said, well, you told us the first day that you've never been here before. I said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, you're obviously lying, because we've had people living with us for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, and they haven't figured us out like you did in these short weeks. Now, granted, there's a lot going on there. I mean, we were on a had the language down and everything else, but that was one of those remarkable moments where I realized that doing this the right way, the taking the time to learn, doesn't actually take any longer than stumbling about for 10 years without ever quite figuring things out.
It's effective culture learning instead of lost in dark culture learning.
You know, if I was looking for a book that was going to tell me about those 10 square blocks in that city in Latin America, I never would have found it. And I would have just thought, no, nobody can teach me. And that's kind of right. Nobody can teach you, but you can learn. And that's the point. We can help each other to be self-directed at learning. And, you know, you're surrounded by teachers. They just don't know how to put it into words because it's so natural to them. It's so intuitive.
Right.
And so that's really where we're trying to go.
Yeah, that's great. So we've talked about a variety of things here today. Is there just one thing that you really would want our listeners to take away from our conversation?
I think the one thing that I would like for people to take away, is that the skill set of being able to cross that 18 inches between my heart and your heart, of learning the patterns and having the attitudes and all of the things that we've talked about. I feel like that same skill set is what I would love to see even within our homelands, to interact with the migrant communities that are moving in, whether they're refugee or just more of a normal immigrant or whatever the case is. I am more and more convinced that the church that Jesus is building, he says, every tribe and tongue and nation and people, it's an amazing promise throughout the book of the Revelation, every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And he is going to be knitting us all together. And right now, we as his children get to do that sometimes by going to the nations. But so often when the nations come to us, and if I could, the greatest joy in my life would be to see local churches saying, wow, if we had some of this skill set in our town, we would love to reach these folks who have just moved in from who knows where and help build these bridges so that they also can interact with us about the gospel.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a little bit of a off from the topic of the rest of our conversation, but I think it's so related.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, God is bringing the world. I mean, he has brought the world to our doorstep, whether it's in a student population or whether it's in a, like you said, an immigrant population that's relocated for whatever reason. There's people all around us. And if we step back, I mean, usually a trip to the grocery store is pretty enlightening as to who's living around us, because we see our neighbors, we see our neighbors at the grocery store.
So here's a really funny thing. I know time is probably escaping, but I was just talking to a fellow in Mexico earlier today. He said, wow, if you think you've got immigration problems in your country, you should see us. Wow. From South America, Latin America, the Caribbean, people landing in Mexico. So it's not just an immigrant problem in the U.S. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
And we can all, in our whatever country we're living in, have a learner attitude.
Recognize
that other people have habits and patterns and ways of living that I can learn.
That's it.
And I think this conversation that we've had, what's helpful for me to be reminded of is that we can learn. I think so often there's this wall of, I can't learn, I can't understand, or it's too hard. And oh, just the missionaries do that, or just the people who, you know, they have to do that. But really the world is from everywhere to everywhere, happening all around the world right now. And we can all, as believers in Christ, say, no, we want to be loving our neighbor. So what does that mean? How can I do that?
Yeah.
And be a learner.
Yeah. And so often it's an act of kindness that speaks to someone's heart more than anything, because when there's something that happens that maybe really polarizes an ethnic group, but you step in and demonstrate kindness to those people or have a relationship with them already that's been marked by kindness, you have an audience, you have people that will listen to you, and you have people that will come and talk to you. And so those are just all significant. So anyway, yeah, we can't forget the world right outside our door.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mark. It's so good to have this conversation and just hear more about what you guys are doing at Culture Bound, and just have a great sister organization.
Yeah, isn't it great? We love watching what God's doing through Sanctuary Inn, and just delighted with the opportunity to talk a little bit about what he's been doing through Culture Bound.
Yeah, and we'll certainly link to Culture Bound in the show notes and everything. So if people are looking for additional training or have questions, hopefully they'll pursue that and be able to ask some questions and push a little bit further that direction. So again,
thank you
so much for your time, Mark.
Well, Kara, tell me after that conversation with Mark, something that you took away from that.
I just love it that what they are doing is missionary care. Mm-hmm. And when we send missionaries ready to really learn the culture, the patterns, as he talked about, mm-hmm. and the ways that people are living, it just makes them so much more effective. Mm-hmm. And if they can learn the lifestyle of the people around them, and if they can learn the language well, it will be a game changer in their mm-hmm. life and ministry.
Yeah, and I appreciate the simplicity of how they go about it, because they're not asking you to go and do really, really big things. You know, go to the market, walk around your neighborhood, meet your neighbors, ask questions, things that are really very simple, but they put you in the position of learning. And you're not going there in the position of knowing everything. You're going to learn. You're going to understand. And that's going to build the foundation for your ministry going forward.
Yeah, that cultural humility. I think mm-hmm. we keep running into that that in every mm-hmm. conversation we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just not going with all the, you know, answers to all the questions, but going with learning how to ask questions.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think all of us, no matter where we are, could grow in that area.
Well, and as Mark was talking about near the end of the interview about the cultures that are right outside our door, and that we can benefit from asking questions to people, our neighbors.
Yeah, I think we can all learn from that and take steps forward.
Yeah. Well, this is Steve.
And this is Kara. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in to the Innkeepers podcast. Our mission at Sanctuary Inn is to equip, refresh, and restore God's global workers for kingdom purposes. We hope today's podcast was an encouragement to you, and maybe you were prompted to pass this along to someone you know that will benefit from today's conversation. Creating a podcast is a team effort. Kara and I prepare and do the interviews, and we're grateful for the time that our guests give us out of their busy schedules to help us learn more about missionary care.
We also want to thank Tim Downing for the music that he wrote and performed specifically for the Innkeepers podcast. Tim is a very talented musician, and you can learn more about him and his work at downingkeys.com. Our podcast is edited by Javier Bolanos and is produced by Tim Cowley of Cowley Visuals. If you have media needs, including film, photography, or audio, you can reach Tim at cowleyvisuals.com.
Our website and show notes are prepared by Micah Gibbons, Kara's amazing husband. You can visit the Sanctuary Inn website and learn more about the ministry of Sanctuary Inn at sanctuaryinn.org. Thank you again for joining us on our journey to learn more about missionary care.
See you next time.